I would like to ask you, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. I want to begin with verse 17 and go through verse 26. The Word of God says, beginning in Luke chapter 20 and verse 17, "And he beheld them and said, What is this then that is written, The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. And they watched him and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him under the power and authority of the governor. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly." Remember now, these are bad guys. You hear the sarcasm and the way that they're speaking with guile. They said, "Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar, or no?" But he perceived their craftiness, and said unto them, "Why tempt ye me? Show me a penny. Whose image and superscription hath it?" They answered and said, "Caesar's." And he said unto them, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's." They could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at his answer and held their peace. These were men that were going to do everything they could to try to trick Jesus Christ. They were tempting him. You notice in back up to verse 20, in the middle of verse 20, it says that these men feigned, that is, they pretended that they were just men, that they might take hold of his word. That's the main thought that's on my heart, is that these men were going to try to take hold of his word. What they wanted to do was to take hold of those words that Jesus might speak, and use his words against him to the governor. Now, they didn't mind lying. They didn't mind twisting his words. They didn't mind taking anything he said and making it mean something that he did not mean. They were trying to take hold of his words and pervert those words. And then, after he had spoken, his response to their tempting and crafty words, after he had spoken those words, then the scripture says in verse 26, "And they could not take hold of his words." I want us to think about that expression in verse 26, where the Word of God says, "And they could not take hold of his words." That same thing is true throughout the ages, that nobody is able to take hold of his words. There is not a man or a group of men, no matter how smart, no matter how intelligent, no matter how much education that people have, there's nobody that can just, through their own intelligence, take hold of his words. We can't even understand what Jesus is talking about on any occasion. We cannot read the Word of God and understand the truth of God's Word. We don't have the ability or capacity any more than these men did to take hold of His words. There are several different reasons for that. Sometimes we cannot take hold of His words. There are people who cannot take hold of His words because they don't even have an ear to hear the Word of God. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 8. Let's see, first of all, what the Scripture says. As Jesus was speaking here to some scribes and Pharisees and people that did not love him or like him. They were not children of God. They had not been born of the Spirit of God. And because they had not been born again, they did not have spiritual ears to be able to hear and understand the Word of God. Therefore, they could not even take hold of His words. They couldn't even understand what Jesus was saying. John chapter 8, beginning in verse 43. You can go over and read all the verses before this. As they had been arguing with Jesus, they were claiming that they were children of God because they were descendants of Abraham. And then in verse 43, the Scripture says that Jesus said, "Why do ye not understand my speech?" Now what's that the same thing as saying in Luke 20, verse 26? What was the expression there? They could not what? They could not take hold of His words. And Jesus now in John 8, 43 says, "Why do you not understand my speech?" That is, they didn't have the capacity to take hold of His words and understand His words. Why do you not understand my speech? And then He explains that. He says, "Even because you cannot hear my word." That is, they didn't have the ability to hear the Word of God. There's a difference in those that will not hear the Word and those who cannot hear the Word of God. And Jesus says about these individuals, He says, "Ye cannot hear my Word." Did you know that until God comes to someone and quickens them and makes them alive spiritually, as long as a person is dead in trespasses and sins, as long, it doesn't matter if they have natural life, it doesn't matter how smart they are, if they're dead in trespasses and sins, they cannot hear the Word of God. They can't understand the Word of God. And Jesus says here, "You cannot hear my words." And then He explains why they cannot hear His words in the next verse, verse 44. Verse 44 says, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." Goes on and talks about how the devil was a murderer from the beginning and a liar. But He says, "You cannot understand my speech because you cannot hear my words. And the reason you cannot hear my words is because ye are of your father, the devil." The natural man cannot understand the words of God. Jesus can speak and speak words that are very clear and words that many other people can understand, but those who are not children of God, they cannot understand His words. They can't take hold of His words. Back up in your Bibles just a minute to John chapter 2. And I'll give you an example here. The Word of God tells us about an occasion where Jesus spoke something that you and I know exactly what Jesus was talking about. And there were people that heard what Jesus said, and some of them were born again children of God, but they didn't even understand what He was saying. Not until later. Look at John chapter 2, beginning in verse 18. What I'm trying to get you to understand, first of all, brethren, is the complexity of the Word of God. I want you to understand that without God's help, we cannot understand what Jesus says. And if we understand anything about God and about the Word of God, we need to be praising God, because the only reason we understand anything is because God has revealed it to us. You remember how Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus' response was, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the only reason you can believe that is because God has shown it to you. I could stand here and tell you all day long that Jesus is the Christ. I could tell you that Jesus is the Son of God, but you cannot take hold of those words, and you cannot believe those words, even if you have an ear to hear, unless God gives you the spirit of understanding. And if He touches your heart and you can understand those words, then you have the capacity to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So you need to thank God that even though those men that we're looking at in Luke chapter 20, even though they could not take hold of His words, and even though those people in John chapter 8, they could not hear His words, you need to thank God that you can hear His words. And you also need to thank God that you can understand some of the things that are in the Word of God. Now, there's not a person on this earth that understands everything that's in the Word of God. I don't believe that there's anybody that has ever lived on this earth other than Jesus Christ that understands the depth of the Word of God. I can read and I can study and I can listen to the best preachers that have ever preached, but I'll never be able, as much as I study, I cannot comprehend all there is in the Word of God. I read things over and over every week that I think and wonder, how could I have not seen that before? Unless God reveals it to you, you just don't see that it's there. In John chapter 2, beginning in verse 18, the Word of God says, "Then answered the Jews, and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." How many of you that know what those words mean? When Jesus said these words, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." If you know what that means, raise up your hand. Hold up your hand. Do you know why you understand that? One reason is because it's already been fulfilled, and we can look back and say, well, what he meant was that he was going to be crucified, and 3 days later he was going to be raised from the dead. There were apostles of Jesus standing there and heard what he said. They were born again. There were other people who were not born again, and they didn't understand his words. But even his apostles did not understand his words. They could not take hold of his words because Jesus didn't open it up to them. He spoke as clearly as he could. And if it had been his intention that they all understand what he said, he could have given them understanding. But they did not understand what he said. What I want you to understand is you cannot just take hold of his words. So they heard him say, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Verse 20 says, "Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days?" Now what temple were the Jews talking about? What temple were they talking about? They were talking about the natural temple in Jerusalem. And they said, "It took us 46 years to build this temple, and you tell us that if we tear that temple down, you're going to raise it up again in 3 days?" Let me ask you this question. Did those Jews take hold of his words in this passage of Scripture? Okay, we've got heads going definite yeses and definite noes. Well, did they hear his words? Could they have repeated those words? Did they understand his words? And that's what I'm talking about when I ask the question right now. When I say, did they take hold of his words? They took hold of his words in the sense that they were trying to twist and pervert his words and trying to find fault with him and trying to say, see, here he is, a liar. He says that he can build a temple in 3 days, and he's a liar. I'm telling you, Jesus could... He could have spoken the words and torn the temple down in 1 minute, and he could have raised it up in one word. That's the power of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about that natural temple, that building in Jerusalem. He could have torn it down. He could have raised it up right there just by the power of his word. It was his word that spoke this world into existence. Couldn't he take a little building like that temple and tear it down and raise it up? That wasn't even the temple he was talking about. Why didn't they understand that? Because they could not take hold of his words. Even the disciples could not take hold of his. They could not understand his words. The next verse says, "But he spake of the temple of his body." Verse 22 says, "When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had said." When did these disciples who were standing here listening to him, when did they understand what he meant when he said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. When did they understand this day when he spoke those words? Did they understand what he said? Did they take hold of his words right then? Did they comprehend what he meant? No, it was only after his resurrection that then they remembered these words, and then they understood what was under consideration. And God, even then, God is the one that gave them understanding after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Turn to Luke chapter 10 just a moment. Luke chapter 10. How do you feel about your inability to understand the Word of God? How do you feel about the fact that you cannot understand truth? How do you feel about that? That you don't have enough intelligence, and that all the intelligence in the world cannot help you understand the truth of God's Word. Does that make you feel a little frustrated? Does that make you feel like and see the depravity of the human flesh? Does it make you realize how great God is and how little we are? It does me. God can say things and we think we know what he's talking about and have no understanding at all. What we think that he says might make sense to the natural man, but it's not at all what God is talking about. In Luke chapter 10, listen to verses 21 through 24. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 21, the scripture says, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Jesus is saying, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. I'm thankful that you have hid these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them unto babes. Jesus was thanking God for hiding the truths of his word. Some people have the idea that God wants everybody to understand the truth, and God is just really frustrated. Telling you, brethren, God, all God has to do is say, eyes be opened, understanding be opened. All God has to do, without a person ever seeing a Bible, all God has to do is speak the word, and everybody will understand everything. But you can't understand anything without God revealing it to you. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Whatever truth you understand, it's only when you humble yourself. It is only when you humble yourself and you say, Father, I cannot understand what your word is saying without your help. Every time before you begin to read and study the Word of God, I encourage everybody here to understand. You can open it up and you can take every concordance that there is, and you can take every dictionary that there is, and you can take every other book that there is in the world, and you still cannot understand the truth without God showing you the truth. You cannot take hold of His words. You don't have the power to take hold of His words. Therefore, when you begin to sit down with the Word of God and you begin to study the Word of God, the first thing you need to do is say, Father, I'm thankful that you've hid these things from the wise and the prudent. And if I think I'm smart enough to understand these words without your help, you just keep it hid from me. But Lord, I know that I don't understand and I can't understand. I'm not worthy to be able to understand the truth of God's Word, but I'm still crying out for mercy and grace and say, God, show me the truth of Thy Word. Teach me and instruct me and help me to understand. Give me the spirit of understanding so that I can read Your Word and understand Your words. Because I know, I like those men in Luke 20, I cannot take hold of His words. I can't comprehend what He means when He speaks unless He gives me the spirit of understanding. After He says that in verse 21, look at verse 22. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal Him. You don't know the Father, unless who reveals the Father to you. You do not know the Father unless who reveals the Father to you. The Son. And you don't know the Son unless who reveals the Son to you. The Father. That's the only way. Did you know I have never revealed Jesus Christ to anyone? No. I can preach Jesus till I'm blue in the face. Nobody's ever seen Jesus unless God has opened their eyes and the spirit and ears and the spirit of their understanding, and God has revealed Jesus to them. It's the Father that reveals the Son, and the Son who reveals the Father. There are some things that God has reserved unto Himself, and one of the things that God has reserved unto Himself is the ability to give understanding to the people of God. Verse 23 says, "And He turned him unto His disciples and said privately," He's speaking now just to His disciples. He says, "Blessed are thine eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard those things and have not heard them." Isn't that amazing? All through the Old Testament. Brethren, there have been some saints of God that have lived in days gone by before Jesus Christ that you don't measure up to their waistline. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's some people in the Old Testament that desired to see what you are able to see today. And the only reason that you're able to see it is not because you're more spiritual than they were, but it's because God, in His wisdom and for His purpose, God kept things hidden throughout the Old Testament and did not begin to reveal them until the kingdom of heaven began to be established. And then Jesus spoke in parables. Now I want to ask you this question. Listen carefully. When Jesus spoke in parables, was the purpose of Jesus speaking in parables to help them understand the truth of God's Word? Is the purpose of Jesus speaking in parables so that everybody could begin to understand the truth? No. No. Listen. Jesus did not speak in parables to help people understand. He spoke in parables to confound their wisdom. Look in Matthew chapter 13 and see this. I want you to see that Jesus explains why He spoke in parables. And the purpose of Him speaking in parables is explained here in Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 and 11. Matthew chapter 13 contains about 8 parables. And as you read those parables, even as Jesus spoke those parables, and these were disciples who were hearing Him, and the disciples would say, "What does this mean?" "I don't know what this means." I can tell you a parable today. I can say, "I'm going to tell you the parable I can say to you. Tell me the parable of the 10 virgins." And you can say, "Well, I can tell you all about that parable." Or I can say, "Tell me the parable of the 5 and 2 and 1 talent servants." And you might tell me all about the parable. But you cannot. You can quote the words of those parables. And you can tell me what you think those parables mean. But you have never seen the truth of any parable except Jesus shows you what that parable means. Why? Because you do not have the power to take hold of His words. Matthew chapter 13, listen to verses 10 and 11. Matthew 13, verses 10 and 11, the Word of God says, "And the disciples came and said unto Him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" Is that a good question? You've been sitting listening to Jesus speak all these parables. Wouldn't you want to know why you're speaking in parables? And He tells them in verse 11. He says, "He answered unto them, Because it is given unto you." Now who is the pronoun "you" referring back to? Disciples. That's right. The disciples asked Him, "Why are you speaking in parables?" And He said to His disciples, "Because it is given unto you." What is a disciple of Jesus? A disciple of Jesus is a follower and a learner. It's a born-again child of God that's trying to serve God and be faithful to God. That's a disciple of Jesus Christ. And He says, "Because it is given unto you," it's given unto disciples to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Not the mystery of eternal heaven, but the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. Well, who gives it? who gives that ability to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. God does. God does. You cannot understand the kingdom of heaven unless Jesus shows it to you. And the only ones that Jesus will ever show the king, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven to are disciples of Jesus Christ. If all you do is pray, but you don't follow Jesus and don't try to serve Jesus, you can pray morning, noon, and nighttime saying, Lord, show me the mysteries of the kingdom. He's not going to show you the mysteries of the kingdom, but when you become a disciple of Jesus, and then you begin to read the Word of God, if God opens your eyes, you begin to see and understand something you've never understood before. You can have been a Christian all your life and still not understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven or any other mysteries in God's Word unless Jesus shows them to you. Did you know you're some of the most blessed people on the face of this earth? I know everybody in this congregation, we are a blessed people. We are blessed. I can never thank God enough for His mercy and grace in showing me and you and my children and my grandchildren in showing us some of the truth of His holy word. Because I couldn't even take hold of them myself. And I couldn't take my children and I could not impart that knowledge to them. They couldn't see what I say is truth unless God revealed it to them, because they couldn't take hold of His words. How wonderful, how sweet, how glorious, how gracious God is to show us the truth of His word. I feel just as blessed as Simon Peter when Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." When the eunuch was sitting there reading in the chariot, and he was reading from Isaiah chapter 53, and you can go home and read this in Acts chapter 8, but when the eunuch was sitting there reading in the chariot, he couldn't understand what he read. He didn't know whether Isaiah was talking about himself or somebody else. He didn't know whether Isaiah was talking about Isaiah or somebody down the road. And so God sent Philip to him. Was the eunuch already a disciple of Jesus? Was he a follower of God? He had been to Jerusalem to worship. He was sitting there reading and studying the Word of God. And he's sitting there reading, and God sends Philip to him. And Philip asked him when he got to the chariot, he said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" Did the eunuch understand what he was reading? Didn't understand it at all. He said, "How can I, except some man guide me?" Now let me interject this very quickly. God does through parents. All of you parents here, you have a responsibility to teach your children the Word of God. As a pastor, I have a responsibility to teach you the Word of God. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we all have a responsibility to spread the truth of God's holy Word, to tell other people the truth of God's Word. But all the telling that we do, and all the preaching that we do, and all the teaching that we do, unless God opens their eyes of understanding, they cannot take hold of His Word. Therefore, does Philip deserve glory for the eunuch understanding the truth? No. Because Philip did take the Word now. He took Isaiah 53, and the Scripture says he began to preach Jesus unto him. But did you know that even as Philip preached Jesus unto him, the eunuch could not have seen Jesus except God revealed Jesus to him in those words in Isaiah 53. How can you describe how blessed you are to have had God reveal, show you so much of the truth of His Word? May God help us to give Him the glory, due His great and holy name, for every truth that He's shown to us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.